a little bit of everything and do some singing, some dancing, some chatting with the guests, the skits, the monologues, the comedy.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
Wonderful comedy.
It really is a lot of fun.
Good morning, everybody. Hello there. Welcome to Friday. It's 5:45. My name's John Holmberg. There's Brady Bogan, Creepy E, Big Dick Toledo, ready to go for another day here in paradise. Hot, hot, hot paradise. Where, you know, who knows what's going to happen this weekend. You're supposed to not go out anyway, but I don't see too many people wanting to. Maybe you'll go to the lake, but outside of that, stay inside because you're going to die, not because of the COVID thing. And yesterday we were talking about Governor Ducey giving us a stern talking to, which is exactly what happened yesterday, and continually set the brand and the theme of his message to, you're at home, you're safe at home, stay at home. Stay at home, stay at home. All the measures say stay at home. And I think by this time next week, we'll have rules against it. I don't know why I just didn't do it yesterday, just to scare away businesses and stuff, because they haven't got sued twice for quick closing everything. But
yeah, maybe we need to give them a little more heads up.
You know, let everybody know we're scaling back on the businesses, and we're going to go back to the old way of shutting her down here. I mean, it's eventually going to have to happen again. I mean, the whole country's talking about doing it, and we're leading the way. So it was weird. It was definitely a strange talk.
And now I hear bars might be suing him. Like,
yeah.
Mountainside Fitness couldn't get it done, but
right. The
bars think they have a leg to stand on.
Everybody's going to sit and shout and scream that you're taking away our money. It's, you know, the second time through where you feel like I did everything right, but they didn't. A lot of them didn't. You're just not going to.
You're lumped in with the bad ones.
Yeah, you have to sue after the fact. You have to sue later on down the road when you're like, hey, wait a minute, you made us close before everybody else, if they close everybody else. And then get those 30 days back.
Did he mention his surplus? Like, you know, maybe throwing
a little more money?
Some of these businesses.
Throw some cake? Maybe, no, he didn't. He actually didn't say, you know, there's something in it for you. He didn't promise that. He just gave us the stern talking to and said, stay at home, you know, go home and be at home if you don't have to be out somewhere, like work or, you know, an essential place. He's basically said mentally shut down because you're about to be shut down. That's my guess.
I was shocked about the Jan Brewer tweet.
Yeah, that was pretty solid.
Oh, my God. She's slamming him.
Yeah. Jan Brewer, who I always had, you know, she can write. She's a good writer. She's a bad speaker, but she's a good writer. She even quoted Breaking Bad. I mean, she's a little off her timing as far as like bringing up the most popular thing going on, but it was a reference that most people understand when she quoted Walt White and said, what was it? The
I got it in front of me. Okay, she goes, so I stayed home tonight and watched Netflix. Caught up on Breaking Bad episode Half Measures, ends with this great line. The moral of the story is I chose a half measure when I should have gone all the way. I'll never make that mistake again.
No more half measures. I remember that. Half Measures is a great one.
Wow.
No more half measures.
That's kind of a shot to the chops, isn't
it? And just basically throwing it at him, saying, why are we peeling a Band-Aid back to see the scab? We know there's a scab. Just rip it off. And we'll start with a new Band-Aid. And, you know, it's just, it's got to be a thing.
And it sounds like he was trying to justify it by this, whatever the new stat is. I hadn't heard in the past where it has a, you know, he's just right now we were at the highest at a 1.18 and you need to keep it under a 1.
I don't even know what, I kind of tuned out at that point. I was watching.
Okay, the spread rate, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And Nevada was higher than us, and he's been in communication with the governor of Nevada, and they've been going back and forth. And, you know, compared to other states, that rate is, you know, pretty decent. But the key is to be under one, and we're very close to being under one. And if you have that, then it's more under control.
That sounds to me like when radio stations that suck try to find the one thing.
Justification.
Yeah, when we always sit through ratings meetings and they're like, well, now hold on a second. With transient women age 38 to 42, Mo saw a huge spike. And we're going to really put it all on that. That's good. And if we can see that go from there, where the transients start to put up signs as they beg for money on the freeways that say, starving veteran, listen to Mo. I think we've got something there. And then people driving on the freeways, it's like free advertising. They
you can toy with numbers however you want.
They found one thing that's like, this is a good one.
Here's our good stat of the day.
Because that was the one where he said in Nevada they dropped in a week and a half to like being way below the thing. It's like, all right, maybe, who knows? Maybe it is a real thing. But the bottom line is, the one stat that's like,
all you gotta do is look at the chart.
Yeah, it's just this upward thing. It's like, just get this over with.
from May to June.
Yeah, get yeah. it. I'm done. Get it over with. Yeah, from the last 2 months, we've like tripled. Well, it's all testing. Yes, and the tests are coming back with more stuff.
And now we need more testing.
End it. Get it over with. God damn it. Stop fighting. We all have to sit down for a minute. It sucks. It just sucks. And some businesses are going to get punched, and it sucks. But get it over with faster. The more we monkey around with numbers and play with this and play with that, the longer this lingers. And I'm just annoyed. And it's going to cause more of this stuff. Illinois woman had a fight with a man in a Costco because he didn't have a mask on. And her response to that, well, I've got COVID-19. Right into his face.
Hack-tooey.
Hack-tooey. Iran, Russia, number one. USA, hack-tooey. I have COVID-19. Yeah, she goes for the real Iron Sheik on the guy because she was worried about, you know, him having a mask or not having a mask. So she gets into another mask fight, which I'm going to keep. They started going back and forth. You got to put your mask on. He's outside, and she's like, you got to do it when you're not outside the goddamn building. And at one point, the guy told the man, I am a school teacher, and I've got COVID-19. And he's like, I'm sorry. And she wandered over and just goes, ah, hack pooey, and splatters him in the face. And he's like, you got to be kidding me.
See, you don't want to go outside. Yeah. This is what you got to deal with if you go around.
Yeah, why do you want to be around any of these people? Since when has this been like, hey, interact with more folks? That seems like a great. When has that been something we've ever wanted to do? The only reason we want to is because we're being told we can't. When's the last time you talk to somebody and go, man, you know, the only thing I really want to do this weekend is hang out in a big crowd? It's never been a thing we've wanted to do, except for now, when we just can't get enough big crowd action. I want to go to a crowded restaurant or bar and wait for a long time before I can get any service or a seat or anything. I just love big, giant crowds of people. Everyone hates that. The only appealing thing about this entire deal with restaurants is they can't have a lot of people in them. That's a dream come true for me. There's no tables next to me. I can't hear the loud talker at the table. I can't listen to a guy chew. It's great. But you also shouldn't be going. So, yeah, it's just annoying. And hock-tooing in a dude's face because you're saying you're upset about germ spreading. Well, for crying out loud.
We have a security guard at a grocery store in California. He's been charged with murder after shot someone during an argument over wearing a mask.
Yeah, the mask thing is going to start popping people off. I had a chat with someone I haven't talked to in a long time, and a listener moved away a long time ago. And basically, the only way this person will put a mask on, he said, I will rub it in some sort of tuberculosis or any other disease, and I'll splat it on, and I will every time I breathe out, it'll push that onto someone else. I won't do it because they're telling me I won't. And then the final line was, until Trump says I have to. And I'm like, oh, okay. It's been nice talking to you. I hope your dog's all right. That's how our connection was a dog. I hope your dog's okay.
If Trump says it, then
if Trump
then
says
he'll
to put the
it.
Mask on,
he'll
this guy'll do it. Until then, he's going to rub them in TB and try to get people sicker than.
All right, then we need to produce a deep fake of Trump saying
it. Yeah. Because, again, I even said, I'm like, I don't give two about being sick or death rates. I just want this over with. And it seems like the fastest path is to just stop being the experts and let them tell us what to do. It's weird. And now you got this whole thing that's why I think Governor Ducey has to shut everything down next week. This was the precursor. This was the talk. If he sees like a massive drop off in daily numbers because everybody listens, which we won't, then next week won't happen. But that school thing is so big, that August 17th deadline. And now you got teachers after yesterday saying, I just won't go in. They're going
to
strike.
As a parent, you know, you kind of freak out a little bit, especially listening to that yesterday and reading about it. Like, just do it now. So then maybe there's a chance by the middle of August we can send the kids in and not have a problem.
Get rid of these little bastards. They've been here since March.
Imagine if we get 14 days that it goes down, then everybody will feel a lot better.
And everybody will be like, you know what, we'll get them back in school and we'll start this all over again close in October.
No, we're going to make it.
The superintendent of schools even said, I'm not sure about the 17th myself.
Yeah, nobody knows. And the teachers want to strike. They're like, I'm not comfortable. This seems wrong. If the numbers aren't good, we'll just not show up. So if you don't have the teachers showing up, you're going to have to move that day. That day is wildly important. It's a huge marker for how this thing ends up. So I would guess next week we're shutting down. I'm just preparing myself for it. The whole shutdown.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, we have in the sports side of it, the Major League Baseball still planning on doing it. There's conferences now in college football that have announced their reduced schedules.
Right.
Like the Big Ten is only doing conference games.
Right. They kind of went rogue and
canceled
went out
all
on
their own, you know, the four big, well, two throwaways and then one big matchup. They're doing away with those and just doing conference games.
Well, the SEC, I don't think, was too happy about the Big Ten just jumping out in front of everybody and making that announcement.
Yeah. Well, the fun
and
part.
And then the Ivy League aren't playing.
Yeah. And I don't know.
Hey, like, the Ivy League's not playing?
Yeah.
Look at that. The smart schools.
Yeah. Harvard and Yale are like, probably not best to put our squadron out there. And so, so this is the worst part about it. Speaking of high-end schools that get things, Stanford, I don't know if you saw this, cut 11 sports due to the COVID and saying, look, we're just going to cut back. And it included something I didn't know that Stanford was giving scholarships for, which was co-ed and women's sailing. Where will the poor inner-city kids go without a scholarship for sailing? I mean, these young sailors from the inner cities that can't get scholarships to sail in college, for crying out loud.
Don't worry, John. They still honor the scholarships.
Sure. But what about the future, Brady? They've cut the sailing sport. Now they can't give scholarships out to these young, poor sailors that all they ever wanted to do is jib and port and starboard. And
dreams of the, what is it, the World Cup or something they call it?
The America's
this
Cup.
This is tragedy.
Yes, America's Cup. These little sailing pirates of the inner cities of America that were reliant on these giant scholarships to sail their way through college. And now what? Now they have now they're losing out on their education.
What else did they cut? Now I'm interested.
Well, they had a bunch. They had like co-ed volleyball and all the sports. And they were like,
all
you
the
were,
co-ed
I don't
sports.
Even know how you get co-ed scholarships. I don't know. Like, you have to be really bad at regular volleyball to get. They cut their regular volleyball and a few
women's
other sports.
Basketball continues.
Yeah. That pile of garbage continues on. I have no idea why. I'd rather watch sailing, to be honest with you, from a bad seat than I ever would want to watch girl basketball.
One hell of a jib.
Yeah. Look at him jibbing out there. He's jibbing portside. That's words I've learned from.
I don't know what it means, but it sounds good.
Something with the sail and to the left. That's all I know. I learned everything I need to know about boating from
Captain Ron.
That's it. It's Captain Ron. Pretty much it.
We went to the same boating school.
The Captain Ron and Summer Rental were the two pretty much 80s movies that taught me all I needed to know about sailing. You got to release the jib! John Candy! I don't even think they had character names. I mean, it was just the people. But yeah, so cutting. I didn't know. Like, there's one thing that comes out of that is that Stanford looked and said, wait a minute, we're given, like, it's like $85,000 a year to go to Stanford. We're giving scholarships out for sailing? These kids have money. They can show up. That doesn't have to be a thing we pay for. I would venture to guess majority of kids who sail so well in their early teen years that they earned a scholarship to goddamn Stanford had some money to go to Stanford in the first place.
You would think.
You'd think. Or,
I mean, so daddy's got
crew
a
crew is one thing.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of a little
but
different.
Even still, shouldn't be paid for. Their grades were probably really great, too. So they were going to go to a good school either way. I don't think that hurts anybody who was like, well, I was going to go to school in a sailing scholarship, but they stripped that and pulled that rug right out from under me. And then you got the other goddamn nightmare, like Brady mentioned. They keep that girls' basketball on there because they're scared to death of these giant women suing them. And then you look over in Orlando and the NBA, which everybody's kind of shaking their head like, all right, I guess you want to try this weird little season and playoff thing to just try to have whatever you're doing happen, and fine, people will be ready. But the WNBA seems like they need to be through. Like, nobody has the courage to just tell the little brother / sister that they're no good at the sport and it's not really that necessary. We'll play again next year. I remember when I moved from Albuquerque, New Mexico to San Diego, it was in the middle of Little League, and it was like a heartbreaking thing for me. I had to quit like right when Little League started. So I had to go over to San Diego and try to start, and their league had started a month earlier. And they're like, he's not going to play this year. And I'm like, oh. And instead of throwing a massive fit and talking to lawyers and everything else about suing the Little League, we just said, suck it up, son. There's next year.
Yeah, next year.
Yeah, and that's basically what we need to tell this WNBA.
What if COVID-19 destroys the WNBA and they can never play again?
Then I will be.
The league disbands.
I'll be at Costco spitting in people's faces maskless, saying, you guys don't realize the gift that COVID-19 has given us, which is this dismantling of the dumbest, most sexist thing I've ever witnessed in my life. And the reason the NBA wants back is for sponsorship and TV, because they're going to get people to watch. Nobody watches the WNBA when you can watch it. When it's normal, they don't watch. Why in the world do they think that there's a need for their product right now? If you're going to cut Stanford sailing scholarships, WNBA is certainly something that's a non-necessity. When we're searching around for, you know, essential things to do, WNBA is not one of them. Why? So we can hear them bitch about how they don't get paid as much during this whole thing. No, we don't want to listen to you. You're always talking about, hey, I had to have other jobs because you never got paid. No, then go do your other jobs for another couple months and skip this. Nobody cares about your stupid league. And it's time we all just put a bright spotlight on the fact that the WNBA sucks. And it's not because it's women. It's because women are bad at basketball. That's why. It's not because you have vaginas. It's because you're not as good as what we watch when we enjoy basketball, which is dudes playing. I'd watch D-League. I don't watch D-League basketball. It's boring. The product stinks. So it's not a female-male thing, although it does seem to trend that way when you watch WNBA.
There was some kind of tournament on ESPN the other day. I don't know what the hell it was.
Yeah,
it
I saw some
like
of that,
they were
too.
In some gym.
They had made up names. And yeah. I was like, all right, well, I'm not watching this. These are not professional basketball. And they might be getting paid, but this is like me going to the Y and cheering for guys.
Went to the cornhole instead.
I watch cornholing because I can't believe that Johnsonville Brats has that much marketing money. Like, even if it's $5,000, I love that the best part about the cornholing thing was all these teams vying for the $25,000 prize. And I'm like, whoa, that's right. The prize will be split $25,000 up for grabs. And I'm like, hold on a second. So I looked online. They have like $25,000 purse. It's a whole grab. So the winners get like, you know,
$7,500.
They got to split it two ways, and then it drops down from there. And I'm like, oh, second place gets $5,000, third place gets $3,000. I'm like, I see how this works out. So it's not $25,000 to the winner, which even still is a little light, but it's not. Most of the kids in there are like 17 and 18 years old. They have a couple guys who are really old, but there's a lot of youngsters. But yeah, Johnsonville Brats throws a ton of money at that. And it worked, because I remember Johnsonville Brats before I remember any names of any cornholer outside of Megan Maupin, who I thought was being paid in Johnsonville Brats. That's what I assumed when I watched. I'm like, yeah, she's here for the Brats. She's a cornholing master for Brats. This girl is going to throw beanbags in any hole if there's a free hot dog at the end. So outside of that, and she's really good at it. But yeah, the WNBA, they're already complaining, too. They're down there in the Orlando going, this is abhorrent. Do the men's laundry rooms look like this? And they're taking videos on Instagram.
The
I'm like,
condition of the stadium.
Yeah, all you did was go down there and bitch about conditions during COVID that you guys aren't the high-end hotel. You know, you should like four to a room. We should be saving a ton of money on this thing. I think that from what I've heard about the WNBA from WNBA players, four chicks to a room is usually how it ends up anyway. I mean, that's just the way we're going to go with this. Save
some
cash.
Why don't they do it outdoors? Safer.
That's a good point. Why don't they find a climate where, you know, it's like 75, 80 degrees right now in the summer and play out there. No wind. We used to always play outside and, you know, you would adjust. Everybody plays with the same wind. It's not like it only is windy for one team. So, yeah, that would work, and it's supposed to be safer. So, I don't know. I don't get anything. But I was heartbroken. Oh, also, this was just brought up. Stanford cut men's and women's fencing. No more scholarships for those poor inner-city fencers. That swashbucklers are no longer going to get a free ride through
college. And the Olympics are going to be in trouble.
Tell you what, it's just, I don't know where you go without
gaming.
Yeah, because most of the time when I watch the Olympics, they're like, he started fencing at age 4 to stay out of gangs. That's never been a thing. It's always the kid who came from like his parents were. His dad, the mean street fencer. His dad owns an oil company, and the kid had nothing to do in his gigantic 35,000 square foot bedroom other than to fence his butler.
He wandered the streets of Madrid.
Right.
Street
a young
fighting,
man.
Swords.
Going to school abroad throughout the world, realized that fencing was the only way to fight the inner city scourge. Come on. Fencing and sailing shouldn't have been paid for by any college anyway. I mean, you got to, what a, I can't even imagine what kind of prick you would be to tell people, oh, well, I've got a fencing and sailing scholarship to Stanford. I'm a cardinal. And I got in via the high seas. Where did you sail before as a child? Oh, borrowed boats from neighbors and such. No, your dad had a boat and you used to sail in it. If you're ever in a sailing club as a kid, you're in a regatta. You're rich. You're wealthy. You're doing great. You probably don't even need college. You just live off of dad's money if you've ever been entered into sailing school.
I just picture all the like 80s movies with like teens with fluorescent pink shirts.
Oh, yeah. Double popped collars.
Cheating on the dock of a yacht club.
Jim Ho, portside Jim Ho. You know, if it wasn't for this sailing, he'd probably still be a Crip. It's never been a thing. When I read that and Stanford made that and they were like, yeah, we're pretty down about all this. Well, you should have cut those 11 sports a long time ago, Stanford.
They probably have some hot chicks that are fans.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, well, they brought those with. The reason those hot chicks are there, that kid could be a hopscotch scholarship. He's still going to have hot chicks because his dad owns an oil company.
He's loaded.
At my yacht club, I learned to sail, and I thought, well, I'll never get through school without a scholarship. My parents are broke.
You had her at yacht.
Time out. Did Tiffany just hear you say yacht club? Yes, I was in a yacht club. Go marry him. Marry him now.
Which one's the captain? The one in the captain's hat and an ascot walking around campus.
I would immediately like to speak to the dean. Hello? How dare you, puppycock! Scholarships for sailing must continue! How dare you give to those barbaric beast monster men who run about the football gridiron?
He's so pretentious, he's British now.
Yes, I've even gotten an accent! That I learned at accent school. That was an hour after yacht class.
Just one summer in England.
Yes, that's all it took was that we summered in England, mostly.
A semester.
I did a semester, Brady, but most of the time, my family was in Newport. But in the summers, I just refused to be part of such a hot, hot sun, and the air in California was detrimental to my lung capacity. So I sailed off to our country villa in Leeds-upon-Thump, England, and I got to run the... I used to fence there with our butler, Jeeves. And now Stanford's cut my scholarship. How shall I sail? I don't know, get a job at that yacht club? Oh, right, I could do that.
Daddy owns it.
My dad is the winner of the last two America's Cups.
My papa.
How am I supposed to sail? I don't know, ask him. Oh, sure, it's that easy. Papa, may I borrow the giant yacht that's won America's game twice? No, I told you, earn your own, keep sailing, like I had to when I was just a farm boy with 7 pence in my pocket. I hate sailing people. I like people who have tiny, like in Summer Rental when he tried to teach his kid to sail, and it was in that tiny little boat with just a sheet. That's sailing.
You respect that.
Yeah, that other sailing, giant yacht sailing. Those guys are...
The old sunfish.
Yeah. And this may have something to do with it. My namesake, John Holmberg in the U.S. Virgin Islands, won't talk to me. And he's a yacht regatta champion.
Yeah, he's pretentious.
So maybe, you know, he was a dick. John Holmberg is a dick. I can say it out loud. All I wanted to do.
The Stanford thing might change if Papa comes back and sits down with the dude and says, would a new gymnasium?
What would you like us to build? Yes. Would you like us to build a gigantic, yacht, a club, perhaps? A Stanford yacht club that everybody can sign up? Or would you like a new women's basketball gymnasium?
Although looking at it from the point of view of the other John Holmberg, he probably thought you were just some kind of leech trying to get on his boat.
It's true. He's got money. He's constantly got to ask. I've thought it all through when I emailed John Holmberg and said, let's have a convention of just John Holmbergs. And, you know.
Well, I'll come to you, to your boat.
The email wasn't CC'd with like 9 or 10 other John Holmbergs. I started with him, which was probably my error because he's like, this idiot wants to meet me. And I didn't really want to meet him. I wanted to meet all the world's John Holmbergs and having, like, North Carolina have a big John Holmberg convention. And the funniest part for me would have been handing out name tags. That would have been the fun joke of the entire thing. It's like, here you go. Hello, my name. We're all named the same. But he quickly shot the idea down, and I just stopped after one. I didn't even seek out a second John Holmberg.
I'm sorry, John.
Yeah, it was a tough one. But you know why? Because he's a goddamn sailor. And dicks.
And now look at
him. Yeah,
maybe there's a chance.
I hope
for
his
a
kids
Zoom,
don't. I hope his
Zoom
kids.
Meeting.
His kids don't get scholarships. That's what I hope. I hope his kids lose out. They were planning on going to Stanford next year, the sailing scholarship.
Hell with you, John Holmberg.
And I don't know how they're going to learn to sail now, even though their dad's won like 7,000 regattas. How do you sail without that?
It does sound like a cool life.
Oh, it's an amazing life because you know why? You realize that after sailing, it's just an uninterrupted avenue of green lights for you. You're loaded. You sail.
I live in the Bahamas.
Yeah, yeah. The dude lives down in the Virgin Islands and wins regattas. I'm like, that's living. And there was a piece of me that was kind of hitting on him as far as a friend goes. Like, you know, I have a pal over there in St. John's that wants to sail every weekend.
Well, you ought to come by sometime.
I could be a crewman. I'll shovel. I don't know. Do you shovel coal in sailing? I think that's how it works. I don't.
You could be a rigger.
Yeah, I could do that. Is that somebody who does something with knots? I'm not very good with knots.
Knots.
Be careful.
Cranking, yeah, I know. Cranking on those things.
Yeah.
Maybe Brady. The things that go click, click, click.
Probably change the name of that.
Yeah, Brady's scaring me.
Just in case. A bunch of white guys on a yacht screaming.
I knew it would.
Yacht guys screaming rigger immediately makes people super nervous. Because, yeah, they're known for it.
And Brady, you have trouble with words sometimes, yeah. So you definitely.
Yeah, you should probably avoid the. any double G-E-R words are probably off for you. You might throw an A at the end of that to try to at least get some street cred for your yachting. It's 6:10. Let's get ourselves a wake-up song, shall we? A good one to start off Friday. That's going to be so hot this weekend. You're going to want to stay home. It doesn't matter what any governor says. It's just warm out. And unless your air conditioning goes out. Larry, poor Larry, has a bad back, can't get up off the couch, and he's texting with me yesterday. And I said, well, if you need anything, let me know. And he goes, well, my air conditioner just went out. And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, because my power's out. And I'm like, what happened over there? And his power was out for like an hour yesterday. I thought Larry was going to die. He couldn't get off the couch, and his power went out.
That's tough. That's a tough day.
It's a rough couple days for Larry, and yesterday was probably the worst of it. Pop back on, but yeah, we almost had to move Larry over to a Holiday Inn Express and load him up like a corpse into the bed. He can't move, poor bastard. Yeah, give us the wake-up song, 585-9800. A good one, and we'll scream it together. It's 98 KUPD. Wake up!
Our country is facing a major crisis. We need to find out what's causing it.